What's up, everybody? It is Thursday, November 12th. You're listening to Pancakes and Pandemics. Dubs is back. That's me. Eve is here. John, by the way, I just got a text. Did you guys see that Trump congratulated Biden on a well-run campaign and wished him luck in the presidency?
What? Well, you're lying, right?
Yeah, no, that didn't fucking happen. All right, I did want to talk about...
Text you that? Your mom texted you?
I don't know. It was a lie, so it wasn't a very good one. It was a bad lie. Veterans Day. I want to start with Veterans Day. It was yesterday. I don't think that there's a holiday that I am less qualified to take off than Veterans Day. I had tons of work to do because I slacked off on Tuesday. My customers are all in the office, so I did log in at around 8 a.m. and hit the grind till about 8:15. And then I signed off for the day and watched some movies. But yeah, no, I worked a little bit yesterday. John, what about you, man? You work in the same industry. Do you feel like we earned it?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, I'm a veteran of my industry. And so I feel like it's a Veterans Day for everyone who's been in their industry for some time. I also worked. I logged in long enough to turn on my out-of-office message on my email. And so,
nice.
Yeah, really logged that time. And my favorite thing to do on Veterans Day is just tell random people thank you for your service, whether that's the barista getting me a Starbucks coffee, it's the grocery person scanning my soup as I check out. Thank you for your service. And I actually went out to lunch with a dude that I work with, and he brought a guy that I had not met before, I don't know. He works in our same industry, but they arrived as I was like on my second margarita at this Mexican place.
Oh, God.
I was like, "Hey guys, happy Veterans Day!" And as I tipped it to my lips, I said, "And thank you for your service." And the guy that I knew goes, "Oh, huh, that's cool. So and so actually here actually did serve." I'm like, "Oh, thank you for your service." As I took another
for your
drink.
Real service.
Yeah.
Which one, by the way, when you said the out of office, which one's more embarrassing? When we do it on Veterans Day or Columbus Day? I always feel weird on both those days because our customers are working. We're the only fucking part of their business that isn't working on that day.
And... I don't care.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Eve, you had the day off? You live an exciting life? What happened?
Hold on. Eve still looks like she has a day off. She just took a swig out of the full bottle of wine, foregoing the glass.
Yeah, it's sake. I guess that's kind of like Japanese wine.
Yeah, Japanese rice.
Wait, I think it's not sake.
It's not sake. That's what you want.
Japanese rice wine.
Yeah, that's what you wanted for Jimmy, but it's not. It's sake. Sorry, I just re-listened to that Who's Yours episode today. So for Veterans Day, I woke up super early. I decided to go hiking, and it started off with just me and my girlfriend like wanting to take a hike, and it ended up with like me, my girlfriend, and like three dudes, two of which were extremely attractive. So we went hiking to a place I've never been before. It was super muddy. And at the end, we had a beautiful view and we like shared some beers. And I watched my friend slip and fall on her face and cover her whole front side with mud. And it was exciting. No. And then, I don't know, just flirted with a bunch of guys and then I took a nap. And then I went on a date to bar trivia, where we lost.
Did you win?
No, last week we were number one. This week...
What was the topic? I am always curious. Bar trivia is the best at having really random topics.
It's completely random. So one was like, what was the first player to be both winning... Was it the Hall of Fame and then winning MVP the next season? And it was Cal Ripken Jr., I think. Or something.
You have to be out of the league for like 5 years, right?
Yeah, so if that might have been your answer during your losing streak.
Maybe it was something else. It was like who won something and then got MVP the next season for the first time, and that was
it wasn't the Hall of Fame.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't.
I don't remember.
World Series.
It was. Stupid baseball question. Okay, and then there were other questions about movies and geography and history and.
I can't wait to play the buzzer sound. Ah,
okay.
When I get to end up post.
Anyway, I had more of an eventful weekend than I had an eventful Veterans Day. Like when I used to be married to a military dude, and anytime we had Veterans Day together, we would go to every restaurant because they would always have deals. Like
yeah,
free
yeah,
meals.
Yeah.
Like you just
oh, good
go
point.
From Chili's to Texas Roadhouse to like Denny's, any place that's white and willing, you get free stuff. So
yeah, all the major chains. So my dude that I had lunch with was telling me, oh yeah, hey, I got it planned out. I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings. They got a 10 free wings with fries special for veterans. And then I'm going to Applebee's. They do a free appetizer. And then I'm going to Old Chicago. They're doing a free personal pan pizza. And I'm just going to load up. I'll take one bite of everything if I'm not hungry, and I'll just pack it up and take it home.
Yeah, it was difficult to get dates on Veterans Day because people were like, oh, I'm busy all day, swimming from place to place getting food. And it's like, okay, yeah, you do your thing, I guess.
Can I go back to you mentioned Denny's. I've seen Denny's, and I've always been like, that place looks fucking terrible. Is Denny's any good?
For rednecks and people of low morals, yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Do you like dirty good. Utensils? Denny's.
Wow.
Who doesn't scratch like
them off the sponsor list.
IHOP is better.
Denny's or B-dubs? John, where are you going?
Oh, B-dubs every time. Even I got beer, I got hot wings. I mean,
well,
checks off two of the three C's, chicken wings and craft beer.
And if you go into the bathroom and you have the right stuff, you can hit
all three. Yep.
All right, Eve, we got to talk about it. I keep hearing these stories about your dates and making out with people or more. And it seems like COVID is still going on. I saw that we're setting new records in the United States. Are you doing your fucking part? That would be my question. Are you doing your part? Because it doesn't seem like it.
I'm doing something. It may not be helpful to the rest of the world, but I guess I'm being selfish. Yeah, there have been times, and it's in the past, I went over this. I've been on like two or three dates in the same day. Or, you know, been with multiple people in the same day. So, I may have kissed three or four dudes in one day. I could have done that. But, I think probably if Esteban was weighing in on this, he would say I am the epicenter of COVID.
Don't bring Esteban into this. Don't use him as a crutch. So
yeah, I was going to say that too.
No, he's the only one that's qualified in the medical field to even make a, like, call on this, because you know Dr. Fauci is not relevant still.
I think we can all kind of weigh in and say, if you smush your face up against someone else's face and then do that to several other people throughout the day, yeah, I mean you're Typhoid Eve. You are spreading the original coronavirus.
I am Hurricane Eve.
Well, I'm currently just frantically scrolling through your social media because I do remember this really uppity mask post about how angry you were about people not wearing masks in public. And it would be really timely to read that post right
now
because it would just fit in so well with how making out with multiple people in one day is just, you know, because you got really angry. It was a very angry Eve post. I think it was probably after you drank an entire bottle of wine without the glass. Okay. Or sake. All right.
Let's not do that. Do you have any other shit talk to give me?
No, I just wanted to try to shame you into taking COVID seriously, guys. It's still going on. It really is going on.
Wait, is this not what you wanted? I am here to provide.
No,
drama.
We do. No, this is it. This is it, actually.
Is this not what you want?
Are you not
Russell Crowe? Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
This is what we want. No, this is entertaining.
Besides me getting a PC. And when are you going to play Among Us, Dubs?
Okay. John told me it costs $5.
Oh,
that's kind of out of my price range. Actually, it's not out of my fucking price range. It's well within my price range, but I didn't join a podcast last week and $10 hit my credit card because you assholes recorded for so long. And John just would have been like, oh, more recording time. We need more recording time. And he knows my credit card is fucking attached to it. You know it's attached to it. So I'm just sitting there literally. So I actually went and hung out with my brother. I'm stoned. We ended up smoking a blunt, and I haven't smoked in forever. So I was ripped, and I look at my phone, and it felt like when my 7-year-old got my PlayStation password and was ordering Fortnite skins over and over again. I was like, oh my God, how do I stop this? And then I sent a text to you, and no one responded. I sent it to all
of you. Because we're podcasting.
I right. And hitting, oh, more time, more time, more time. It was very upsetting. And so, yeah, I had money to play Among Us until John thought that he could just use my credit card.
You sound like an angry parent who had their child use their credit card on, like, Minecraft or something.
Yeah, I just alluded to the fact that that has happened.
He just made
that. Not as bad.
He's made that exact same
reference.
Wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. My neighbor got hit for almost $700 by his kid. Yeah.
What did he do?
He called PlayStation and like made some negotiate. You know, basically told him what happened. That like he
take didn't back have a all password. Of this. Take back all these stupid skins.
Yeah, yeah. I think he got hit with some sort of like minor penalty for the inconvenience of PlayStation having to do that. But it was like $50 and not like $700.
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah. All right. I do want to. So you guys talked a little bit about the election. That's been a hot topic, almost to the point where at this point it's kind of obnoxious. Just the election in general. But I was watching election reactions the other day, and there's really a wide range, right? There's the people sort of like Eve that forgot that COVID's going on, and they're just like partying in the streets.
Yep.
Same fucking people that like it was terrible that Trump was having a you know, a rally, but now that Biden won, we can all just forget about it. Van Jones, John, your boy Van Jones, just crying on CNN. You know, it was such an emotional thing for him. And then there's obviously the Trump people and those
science
people
deniers,
that are just like
deniers.
Yeah,
flat earthers.
They think they're still like it's not over yet. They're still like, oh yeah, wait till we win.
The lawsuit goes through.
Yeah, that sounds stupid, but. I found my favorite reaction, and I'm going to play the clip for you right now. It's 45 seconds. Actually, let me back up. It's by a gentleman named Kenneth Coleman. If you don't know who Kenneth Coleman is, Kenneth Copeland.
Oh, you said that Jesus well. You said that really right. Well.
Yeah. Jesus, mother. You miss one podcast, you really lose a step, you know? Kenneth Copeland. He's a – I don't even know how to say this word.
What are you doing? Can you just cut to the clip?
No, hold on. Is he a televangelist?
Yeah, televangelist.
Televangelist.
Oh, my.
Ew. Jesus this Christ. Disgusting. Will you just play the All clip right, and stop talking?
Yep.
The media said what? The media said Joe Biden's president. Ha, 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 ha.
Okay, so I can watch that clip over and over again. But yeah, that's Kenneth Copeland. John, could you please describe to the listening audience what he is doing during that clip? Like,
he has a brain laughter coming out of his face, but his mouth is frozen completely wide open as far as he can get it. And he's not like actually laughing, just his mouth is wide open and he's braying out the words ha, 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 ha. And it's just obnoxious, and for some reason everyone in the crowd, if you watch this on YouTube, is laughing, like hysterically laughing. They are eating this up, and apparently they don't believe the media, which I guess is called every election since forever, right? Like when the electoral votes are in,
right? Yeah, like who else is that's always the case. I thought that was the funniest fake laugh I've ever heard in my life. Ha ha. And he did
John
it forever.
A fake laugh though.
Let's hear it.
What?
That was pretty good. But not as good as ha ha ha.
No. He literally Eve, you're right. You're right. If we do like murder someone on Overwatch or they say something dumb, then I do ha ha ha.
Yeah, thank you for doing the official funny laugh.
But he literally, like, if you were to, you know, when you text, ha, 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 that's kind of how he approached this. I don't know what Kenneth Copeland's doing, but you should know. You talked about, John, people eating it up. Apparently a lot of people eat up Kenneth Copeland. The guy has a net worth of $300 million as a TVangelicist. How do you say it?
Televangelist.
Yeah. No, it's not televangelist. Is it? All right. Whatever. $300 million
Can we like rewind to the episode where we did talk about how churches are nonprofits and these big churches?
Oh, yeah.
Because this is, we have already covered this and how they don't want to be considered like for profit, so they don't have to pay taxes. And this is why these people become millionaires.
So they just pay the preacher.
And then when hurricanes happen, they just refuse to let people into their little churches or their huge churches in that case.
The other thing about Kenneth Copeland, I'm not going to play the clip. Maybe I will play the clip. But he also blew away COVID with the breath of God. Did you guys see that clip?
Yes. All he was doing was blowing COVID on the crowd. He said, COVID!
Yeah, I've never seen anyone blow that bad.
With the breath of
God. Like a female playing beer pong. Yeah, it's what?
COVID-19! I blow the wind of God on you. You are destroyed forever. And you'll never be back. Thank you, our God.
He had did you notice on that video he had six weird strangers? Well, I don't know if they're strangers, but six men standing next to him. Just repeating words that he said. Yeah. He might be, because I have a Joel Osteen is the only other I'm not gonna say the word TV preacher guy that that I've seen that's super rich, right? And I'm sure there's others, but Joel Osteen and this guy I think are the biggest. This guy though, I can't imagine watching him being yeah, this guy's good. I like this guy. He looks like he's had $500 million of plastic surgery. And he looks insane. I don't understand how he's doing this. But,
Yeah, he did have an army of white acolytes behind him that would just repeat everything that he said. Yeah, and that's basically Christianity in a nutshell.
Don't rip on Christianity. I'm a Christian.
All right, televangelism.
Televangelism.
Thank you. God damn. All right. We had to get Ken. If you haven't, by the way, seen those videos, Google Kenneth Copeland. Watch all his. I mean, it's amazing stuff. He's worth tuning into.
Do not like, subscribe, and review. You need to save those for pancakes and pandemics.
Mm-hmm. Well said, John. Well said. All right, we do want to give back to our listeners a little bit because we know that we're only on 2 days a week, right? So you have to do things throughout the week to fill the void. And we have a TV show that, we're going to make a little bit of a referral, if you will. And it's called Queen's Gambit. I saw it on Netflix, and I'll give John credit. I think I was actually asking John why he hadn't been going to bed early. And John was like, I'm sucked into this fucking show. And he's like, yeah, it's about a girl chess player. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I started watching it. And I got sucked into it where I was encouraging my wife to go to bed because it's not her type of show. I was like, yeah, why don't you just it's time. You're going to wake up. You got the kids. Come on. Let's go to bed. So I can watch two shows at Queen's Gambit. And the only disappointing thing, it's only seven or eight episodes. So it ends kind of abruptly on you and you're just like, fuck. But it does have a good ending. I thought it was a dope show. John, give a little bit better job of what it's about and chat about for a second.
Yeah, so I do kind of shows that that have a defined story arc. So they knew the story that they wanted to tell and this will take 7 or 8 episodes. We don't need to drag this out like The Walking Dead for a decade plus. And so I found out about the show because I follow Stephen King on Twitter. And if you know who Stephen King is, he's a highly, very successful author. He wrote a lot of horror books back in the day until he got all of his creativity knocked out of him in 1999 and was smacked by a car when he's walking alongside the road. But anyways, he recommended The Queen's Gambit. And so I said, okay, I used to like you 20 years ago. I'll watch a show. And yeah, it's great. The Queen's Gambit focuses on the life of an orphan girl who winds up parentless at 13 years old. And she turns into a chess prodigy.
She's 8. Come on.
Is that important?
She is way younger than 13.
He's not 13. Not
important.
Eight.
Is that, not important.
Is that a good correction for you to lob a no into the middle of my head? Yeah. Whatever. She's a young girl. And through the combination of ingesting hallucinogenic pills that orphanages used to provide to kids in the 1950s and the tutelage of the local orphanage janitor, she blossoms into a chess prodigy. And the story continues into the 1960s where she graduates from pills into alcoholism. And really all of her chemical dependencies help her to become a chess master in a world where every single one of her opponents are male.
Yeah.
And she whoops ass.
So the other thing was that her mom is like a fucking mathematical genius. And her dad, I have no idea what he fucking did, but I only seen 4 or 5 of the 7 or 8 episodes there were. And I felt I was like, this is dumb. I saw the trailer and I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, smart girl kicking butt, boys' butts. And she didn't even realize like how smart she was until that janitor took her aside and was like, hey, like, you could play chess? And she's like, what are the rules? And it was just, after that, I was hooked. And also, I have a few questions, okay, that need to be addressed, okay? What are those pills exactly? You know, are they tranquilizers?
Yeah. They kept calling them tranquilizers. Yeah, like, what?
Can I get some of them?
All I know is...
Or is this...
All I know is John and I immediately, like, when I watched the first episode, I was like, I kind of want some of those pills.
They call them, like
yeah, I want those.
Yeah, they call them, like, their nickname were greenies. I need the greenie. I'm like, ooh, yeah, I want some greenies, too.
Yeah, one of the important parts of the show is when she took those pills, she could, like, play chess on the ceiling. Yeah. You know, that sounds kind of dumb when you say it, but it just becomes normal when you watch the show.
Is it like Adderall? Anyway, so it's like... The black girl that was in the orphanage with her was her go-to girl for pills.
Awesome character. Yeah. Just one of my favorite characters was the orphan friend girl. What's her name?
Weird that the black girl's the drug dealer, huh?
Oh, shit. She's a drug procurer. She doesn't actually deal. And then, like, can she just fuck that Thomas dude? I mean,
hold on. Let's not toss out too many spoilers.
Like. Oh, sorry. I mean, there's a dude in the show.
There's a part of the show where yes, there is some. Are we in statutory rape territory? Right? Is that what you were asking yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I didn't see that part. I saw the part where like they were in the hotel room, and I thought like they should be together.
I'm talking about
the beautiful brown-haired man that plays chess and works for the newspaper. She is obviously attracted to him, and she thinks about him a lot. He's obviously attracted to her. Like, get together. Like, when she was in that druggy like college room, that was stupid. Like, that guy was such a low-T drippy dick energy.
Yeah. Hey, how do you make chess exciting? Because they fucking did. Every time there's a chess match, I was like, oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Hit that clock.
Here comes the Sicilian Open. The Sicilian Open's coming. And then,
hit that clock.
Hit that clock. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I loved about this show, though, is that they reestablished Russians as the bad guys in our world. You know, we forgot how bad the Russians were since the Cold War happened. We keep thinking Middle East.
Yeah, since we just became better.
Yeah, Middle East. Now it's like, fuck the Russians again. Let's bring it back. Remind each other that Russians were bad. Is this for the young audience to remember the Russians are bad?
Yeah, but the Russians were also really great at chess. So, yeah, ultimately in the Queen's Gambit, the Russians or the Russian chess master is like the ultimate. This is the goal that we're working towards. And yeah, I believe that all of our three votes are the Queen's Gambit is a great watch. They're, 40 to 60 minute long episodes. It's well worth your time.
Drugs.
It's very well worth your time.
Alcohol,
hey,
women, sex.
I would like to harness that young lady's sex, chemical dependency and how she turns it into just great creativity on the chessboard.
Focus.
Right.
And,
yeah, you're missing out. Like, because when you get all fucked up, you're not doing anything cool.
Sometimes I'm podcasting, so I disagree.
So I did want to just real quick. Did you guys in the beginning kind of think the janitor guy was a little creepy? He never smiled. That picture that she took with him, I don't know. I didn't like the janitor guy for a while. And then he, like, you kind of realized he wasn't creepy. But in the beginning, I was worried.
He kept his distance.
You're in a basement?
He kept his distance. He wasn't trying to, like, entice her to play. He actually wanted to get the fuck away from him most of the time.
Yeah, he was like Keanu Reeves taking a picture with a female fan. He
doesn't touch him.
Nope, doesn't touch him at all.
Okay, all right. Queen's Gambit, tune in. Now we got to talk a little bit about some sports. And there's kind of a controversial. Thank you. There's kind of a controversial. Why can't I fucking talk? This is pissing me off. Anyway, Tony La Russa. I know. I need to take some drugs. Tony La Russa was recently hired as the Chicago White Sox manager, and it was kind of a questionable hire because Tony La Russa is 75, something like that, years old. So he's super old and white. Baseball has changed so much since he was a manager. He is a manager from, you know, 20 plus years ago. So very questionable hire. A lot of people were like, I don't understand this at all. Well, Tony La Russa then immediately gets a DUI. And then on top of that, kind of makes comments to the police officer that he shouldn't be getting a DUI because he's a Hall of Famer. And John, I know this is an interesting topic for you because, you know, a lot of times you're anti-old white people, but then at the same time, you're very pro-drunk driving. So this kind of is where both those things crash, and I'm kind of curious where you landed on this story.
Well, there's multiple funny aspects of this, and I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I'm a fan of the drama. And so, first of all, let's just from like a high level here, a macro standpoint, baseball is dying, people. The median age of the average baseball fan increases every year. You just have old people watching baseball. It's an old person's game. So apparently how baseball and the White Sox decided to bring in young viewers and keep up with the times was to hire 76-year-old Tony La Russa as their manager. That'll get new fans in the door. What else is my point here? Yeah, he's not a great person. He's in the Hall of Fame, which means that he was retired long enough to be considered for the Hall of Fame, elected in, and then is now back in the job. Baseball has to hate this, right? Like, you can't just be in the Hall of Fame and then come back and work. And by the way, Cubs mentioned this is his second. This is a DUI. This is his second DUI.
Second, yeah.
And when he was pulled over for his second DUI here in Arizona, he mentioned to the police, he goes, oh, hey, yeah, I just had some dinner drinks with some friends that are from the California Angels. They've not been called the California Angels, I believe, in like 20 years.
Well, he was drunk. He was drunk, okay? I mean, it's hard for him to keep it together. Yeah, no, those are all funny parts of this story. And it's not a good hire. But, John, I mean, should he have been arrested?
Oh, absolutely not. He was completely in the right. You know, he had a couple of drinks with the California Angel people at dinner, and he parked gently into a street post or lamppost. And so that should be fine.
Nah. Right. Okay. I'm glad. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we got that out.
Fine, what's not fine is in 2016 when Colin Kaepernick came out. The only reason I don't, Tony La Russa, is because when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for the flag, he was asked on the Dan Le Batard show, Tony La Russa was, do you agree with it, or what's your stand? And he's like, no, you keep that in the clubhouse. You don't protest anything out on the field. You keep that in the clubhouse. And also, he worked for the Arizona Diamondbacks for several years, right, in the front office, and he supported several local Arizona politicians who were pro, like, just stop brown people in Arizona to see if they have their immigration papers and see if they're legal. And while having many brown people on his team in the Arizona Diamondbacks. So Tony La Russa, putting my stamp on it, racist.
He's also,
I wonder if the police officer was black. Took it out on him.
I don't know. I looked him up as you were talking because I don't really care and don't know who that is. He looks like the.
He's a good looking guy.
He looks like the embodiment of Pizza Hut from Spaceballs.
Yeah, he's not a good looking guy. He's not a good looking guy.
Like a greasy pan crust type of thing.
He's just melting. His face is just melting away. All that plastic surgery is not helping him.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Tony La Russa, although shouldn't have gotten in trouble, he's a terrible person. And yeah, go White Sox. Go White Sox. Last thing on sports. Tiger Woods. There's a tell-all sex scandal HBO documentary. His mistress was talking about it. We're going to hear about the strippers, the urinating on strippers. John, I think Denny's might even get involved in that in that story. I'm sure he picked up some women at Denny's. Yeah, all that shit. I'm excited about it. It's Masters week. By the way, Tiger put together his lowest round that he's ever done in the Masters first round today with a 4-under. For some reason, golf still only matters to me when Tiger Woods is good. Like, I still don't care about golf, but if Tiger Woods is in it, I'll fucking pay attention. Go Tiger.
What about that super buff guy that golfs? What's his name?
There's a few of them now. Brooks Koepka. There's another guy named Bryce DeChambeau that's just fucking jacked. DeChambeau,
like, drive 400 yards?
Yeah, yeah.
With like, a swing that doesn't even go all the way back. It's, like, 70% of what normal people would swing, and he drives 400 yards.
Yeah, that's the one right there. That's the dude. Yep.
Yeah, he's he had a rough round, but he's still in
Brooks
the mix.
Koepka?
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, maybe it's actually that guy. Yeah.
I think it's
that
Brooks
was the
Koepka.
One where Tiger won, but Brooks almost won, right? Or was it the vice versa?
I don't know. Good break.
Been a couple of those.
I hate golfing.
All right. Hey, listen up. This is part one. It's fucking over. We're doing something new. Part two, we've got locks. We've got
versus.
Garbage facts. The debut.
No,
garbage
facts.
Ew.
Debut.
And then versus. Lock into part two. We love you. Talk to you later.